This video is brought to you by Incogni. Today, an American base in Syria comes under attack. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi gives a controversial speech, and Israel's head of military intelligence resigns. From TLDR News, this is your daily briefing for Monday, the 22nd of April, 2024. Our main story today is that last night, an American base in northeastern Syria came under attack by the Iraqi militant group Kataib Hezbollah. It's been reported that at least five rockets were launched by Iraq's town of Zumar by the Iranian-backed militia and one of Iraq's most powerful groups, although no US personnel were injured. The US has about 2,500 soldiers stationed in Iraq and nearly 900 across the border in Syria as part of an international anti-jihadist coalition created in 2014 to fight IS, or the Islamic State group. In late January, the US and Iraq held a first round of talks on ending the presence of these US troops in Iraq. US officials stated that these talks came later than expected, and that the US was ready to start discussions last year. But Israel's war has complicated matters. US military bases have been under sporadic assault from Iranian-backed militia for years, but the pace of these attacks increased after October the 7th. Things escalated in February after a US drone strike attacked a car in a residential neighborhood in Baghdad, targeting and killing three members of Kataib Hezbollah. The US military presence in Iraq was subsequently described as a factor for instability by a spokesperson for the Iraqi military, who accused the US of showing no regard for civilian life or for international laws. Asayub Ahul al-Haqqa, an Iranian-backed militia and political party in Iraq, called for the immediate withdrawal of US forces in Iraq. Talks on suspending US military presence resumed a few days later. Both sides were seemingly collaborative, and Iran called on Kataib Hezbollah to suspend their attacks to avoid a regional escalation, a directive that has been followed up until now. So last night's attack was the first since February. Kataib Hezbollah said Iraqi armed groups had decided to resume attack on the Iraqi US presence after seeing little progress on talks. Resuming the attacks on US forces came at a time of high tension between Iran and Israel, following their exchange of missiles last week. Iraq's Prime Minister Shia al-Sudani is now trying to maintain a careful balancing act with Iraq's ally Iran and maintaining good relations with the US. From the White House last week, al-Sudani addressed the uptick in tensions, saying he encouraged all efforts to stop the expansion of the area of the conflict, highlighting his fears of Iraq being dragged into a regional war under the influence of Iran. There's more on the way, but remember to subscribe and ring the bell for more daily briefing tomorrow. Plus, if you want to support the channel like Manu, Nithi and Antha, then consider joining the new TLDR membership program for just $1.99. Moving to India now, where the world's biggest general election is currently underway. As part of this, almost 1 billion people are eligible to vote and will ultimately decide whether to give incumbent Prime Minister Narendra Modi another term in office. On Sunday, Modi caused quite a stir in the election, with him making a speech that some are now claiming amounts to hate speech. In the speech, Modi attacked the main opposition party, the Indian National Congress, by stating that, when they were in power, they said Muslims have the first right over resources. They will gather all your wealth and distribute it among those who have more children. They will distribute among infiltrators. He then asked the crowd, "Do you think your hard-earned money should be given to infiltrators? Would you accept this?" Modi has long been accused by critics of using incendiary rhetoric as part of his Hindu nationalist agenda. This speech will only embolden these critics. In fact, some have even gone as far as to suggest that this speech breaks the Election Commission of India's Code of Conduct, which suggests that politicians should not try to appeal to voters based on caste or on communal feelings. We'll have to see how this affects Modi's election campaign in the coming weeks. Israel's head of military intelligence has resigned and will leave once a successor is appointed, according to a statement published today by the Israeli military. Major General Aaron Haliva will become the first senior Israeli official to step down over the intelligence failures that led to the Hamas attack of October the 7th, in which 1,200 people were killed and another 250 taken hostage. Haliva said last year that he took full responsibility for the failure, with the attack having taken place as he was on holiday in the southern port city of Eilat. He was reportedly updated at around 3 a.m. on the morning of the attack regarding, quote, certain signs coming from Gaza, but was unavailable to join high-level consultations with the IDF at the time. It also comes as Benjamin Netanyahu's war cabinet struggles internally. On Sunday, ministers Benny Gantz and Itamar Ben-Gvir each accused the other of damaging national security, following news that the US is set to impose sanctions on a unit of the IDF over alleged human rights abuses. The sanctions would ban the transfer of US military equipment to the Netzar Yehuda Battalion, which is an all-male IDF infantry unit made up of ultra-Orthodox and religious nationalist Jewish recruits. It's the first time the US has targeted a unit of the IDF directly, and is the latest point of tension in an already strained US-Israel relationship. Moving to the Maldives now, where incumbent President Mohamed Mizu has won a landslide victory in Parliament. In total, Mizu's People's National Congress Party, or PNC, has won 66 seats of the 93-seat chamber, giving him an effective supermajority. His party now controls not just the presidency, but the legislature as well, with some even suggesting that he could control the judiciary if he wanted, given the size of his majority in Parliament. In practice, this means that the archipelago state will likely see India's influence reduced, as Mizu is broadly seen as pro-China and has been keen to try and minimise the role that India plays. Specifically, Mizu has also promised to send back all Indian troops based in the Maldives. As things stand, two batches of Indian military personnel have already left the Maldives, and the remaining troops are set to leave by May the 10th. This is a major setback for India, and a tacit endorsement of China, who have been investing heavily to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars in loans and grants in the strategically significant country. And finally, we bring you some uplifting news from yesterday's London Marathon, which saw a total of 44 Guinness World Records broken. Kenyan long-distance runner and Olympic champion Peres Jepchichir broke the women's only marathon world record, with a time of 2 hours, 16 minutes and 16 seconds, with three other runners, Tixt Asefa and Megetu Alumu from Ethiopia, and Joycelyn Jepkosgei from Kenya, also beating the previous women's only record of 2 hours, 17 minutes and 1 second. However, there were also some slightly sillier achievements. 45-year-old Marcus Mumford from Worcester set the record for the fastest marathon while dressed as a tap to raise money for WaterAid, which he added to his previous award for fastest marathon while dressed as a toilet in 2014. 39-year-old Lee Bainton also clocked the fastest ever marathon in an inflatable costume to raise money for a local hospice, while 31-year-old Jono Assel set a record for the fastest marathon for someone with multiple sclerosis, and managed to raise more than £20,000 for the Multiple Sclerosis charity. Others broke records for running dressed as a scientist, video game character, Rubik's Cube, traffic cone, and sweet food. While you've been watching this video, you might not realise that shady forces in the background are trying to collect your personal data from various sites, bundle it all together, and then sell it to a third party. These data brokers can then sell your information to anyone, from a company to an online criminal. Now, you might assume that you're always safe online. Perhaps you regularly change your password, or even unsubscribe from annoying email newsletters that you never even remember signing up for. Unfortunately, this doesn't always save you. Companies that hold your data can still fall victim to a data breach, meaning that these data brokers can still compile all of your information and sell it on to others. The good news is you have the right to protect your privacy and request that the data brokers delete your personal information. But the bad news is that it would take you years to do it manually, and even then you need to repeat the process every few months as data brokers continue collecting your data. Luckily, this is where our sponsor Incogni comes in. Incogni reaches out to these data brokers on your behalf, requests that your data is removed, and then deals with any problems that might arise. Even more, Incogni is persistent and will put in multiple data removal requests after your data has been removed to make sure it doesn't go back on the market. So create an account with our link in the description, grant Incogni the ability to work on your behalf, and sit back as they make you safer. Plus, by using our link, you'll get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Thanks for checking it out, and thanks to Incogni for sponsoring this video.